Good morning and welcome to the conversation today from Two Islands. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich over in Hilo, where at the moment it's gray and raining, a Hilo type day. It's beautiful though, as far as we're concerned. And over in our Kaheka studio, Chris, you there?
I sure am, Beth Ann. Good morning. It's so near and yet so far away, right?
Oh, the magic of voices meeting in the ether. Yeah, I love that part. Anyway. Good to talk to you, and we're going to just carry on with this morning. Now, island to island, homelessness in Hawaii looks different. We know that. The numbers of singles, families, and chronically homeless people battling addiction and mental illness shift with other variables, rural and urban areas, and an island's general population. What doesn't shift is the need to help people for whom a tent or a makeshift pallet on concrete is home. And while it can be tempting to see homeless people through numbers on reports, the clearer picture emerges from the firsthand experience of the people who know their clients best, the outreach workers. Today, we're in Hilo with Janice Ikeda, Operations Director for Hope Services Hawaii, to hear what she sees. Janice, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Aloha. Thank you for having me on such a momentous week for homelessness, as it is the National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. We've had a number of events that happened this week. We kicked off the week with a number of homeless vigils. On the west side, we had a gathering of the faith community. Today, we have our homeless luncheon in Hilo. Yesterday, it was over in Kona, and tomorrow will be in Pahoa.
Right. There are lots of things that are happening that are focusing our attention on it this month. But for you, that happens every single day. And for the people who are out there on the streets who are trying to make a difference, it happens every single day. Now, we looked at the point in time count, which in just a few months will be done again, and seeing that in Hawaii County, it increased by 12%. Sheltered folks increased by 23% compared to 2015. Unsheltered was 10%. And looking at the factors of why we've seen this increase, particularly on Hawaii Island, the fact that there was better reporting this year, what did that mean in terms of how those collaborative efforts happened? And I know you were involved with that.
Well, it was really key having the County of Hawaii partner with us this year. We had the first responders partnering with us. We also had the Office of Housing and Community Development partnering with us. And they're key partners throughout the year because they're the ones that issue out those Section 8 vouchers that a lot of our homeless folks take advantage of. We also had the Civil Defense Agency partnering with us. And that was during a time when Hawaii County was facing dengue fever outbreak. And so for them being out in the field and really getting a firsthand view of the people who are most susceptible to those kinds of disasters, was really key. We also had business partners, and that was amazing to have people in the businesses who typically come to us because they want us to move the homeless people away from their businesses, but for them to be able to connect on a real personal and human level to people who are homeless and realize a lot of them are working folks, and to break down a lot of the stereotypes that they may have had, and just building community relationships really was really
It sounds as if you had the community come together in unprecedented ways, and that they all walked away with a different lesson. As you're now looking at the next point in time count, where we're not looking at so many, you know, issues in the way that they were focused because of dengue fever, what is that you think might be happening this next time around, or what are you going to try to make happen this next time around so you get that same community cohesion and sense of everyone doing this together in concert with each other?
Mm-hmm. Well, throughout the year, we continue to work together as partners. And like I mentioned, bringing the faith community into the conversation. We held a landlord summit earlier this year and brought together landlords and property managers and brought them into the conversation. And that's been really key too, because the only way to really end homelessness is putting people into homes. And so having the partnership with those people in that have the homes, it was really key, and continuing to build those relationships throughout the year and that conversation. But going back to your point about seeing the increase in the shelters, another thing that contributed to that may not have been reported in the point in time is the shift towards housing first and the shelter being a low barrier shelter, which means that people are no longer required to be clean and sober. We don't do UAs on them. Shelter is for that transition from homelessness to housing. And what the housing first model does is once they get into housing, that's when you wrap around services and case management, because they're no longer in crisis and they're much more open and able to change.
And Housing First has been an issue that we've been talking about for quite a while statewide, mm-hmm. certainly in Honolulu, but every island seems to have a different version of what Homeless First or what Housing First looks like mm-hmm. for homeless people and what might be massaged into that, because there were a lot of federal dollars flowing into that mm-hmm. from HUD. We now have a real change happening in Washington. Are you concerned at all about how that's going to affect how you do what you do?
No, because we've already made the shift. And so for our shelters, one of the things that we did was we got rid of 4 pages and over 100 rules that people needed to adhere to in our shelter. And of course, if they didn't adhere to it in the past, they'd get violations and get kicked out. Well, now there's just 6 agreements, really, and it all aligns to good tenant behaviors, you know, and building good tenant behaviors with the goal of permanent housing. So going from 100-something rules and UAing people and, you know, citing them for violations on curfew and everything else, down to just 6 agreements of, you know, how you treat one another, basically keeping your unit clean and paying your program fees on time, has made a big difference in how people are able to utilize the shelters.
So what lessons do you think other islands can take away from, and other places can take away from, what you've been able to do in Hilo and West Hawaii too?
The biggest lesson is moving away from social control and really getting into true social service.
And what's the difference?
It has to do with power and control, really, over another person. And are you there to exercise power and control? Are you really there to serve them? And are they and their needs first and foremost, and realizing that their first and foremost need is housing, beyond charity, beyond anything else, it's housing.
With the growth of a lot of substandard housing, people, you know, living in tents or makeshift structures, no running water, no, you know, utility access, any of that, how have you been able to shift them into your vision? Has it been difficult? I mean, are people willing to come in?
It is difficult. And we live on an island that's over 4,000 square miles. When we look at the population on the west side compared to the population on the east side, it's just two very, very different communities. Even the population that's down on in Kau area, very different again. There's a lot of families in the Kau area who are Kofa families, and the assistance that was available to that community there was very limited. And so we're thankful that recently, through the Coordinated Statewide Homeless Initiative, through an agreement with the governor and Aloha United Way, that has opened up sources of funding that we've been able to assist those families.
And going forward, because we've got to go in just a minute, but going forward, how concerned are you about being able to access funding?
It's very concerning, especially with the new Senate Bill 2559 that is requiring the spaces in the emergency shelters. That's going to decrease the number of shelter beds that we have available, and so that's concerning.
We'll talk to you more in future, but I want to thank you for coming in today and being with us here in Hilo.
Okay, mahalo nui.
Janice Ikeda is Director of Operations for Hope Services Hawaii. Last year, she helped the organization align with the Housing First model and made East and West Hawaii operations more cohesive.